Quick question. What do March 5th, 1770 and October 25th, 2020 have in common? I'll answer that question. Both those days were the days that severe massacres, ass-whoopings, beatdowns took place in the state of Massachusetts. And March 5th, 1770 was the day of the Boston Massacre, and October 25th, 2020 was the day the San Francisco 49ers beat Earth, Wind, Fire, and Ice out of the New England Patriots, 33-6. Cam Newton died worse than Christmas addicts. This was the biggest ass-whooping a Bill Belichick football team took since a 31-0 ass-whooping they caught from the Buffalo Bills opening day 2003. Surgical, masterful, quick, decisive, and evisceration of the New England Patriots. Kyle Shanahan kicked Bill Belichick's ass all four quarters in that game. The 49ers, Robert Saleh's defense, destroyed Josh McDaniels' offense. I heard for so many years that it was Belichick who made Tom Brady. That the biggest reason for the Patriots' success was the coaches on the sideline and not the players in the field, in particular, Tom Brady, the greatest quarterback in the history of professional football, the GOAT. How's that working out now? 2-4 for the New England Patriots, and coming off a fresh ass whooping, a good clean ass whooping from my beloved San Francisco 49ers this past Sunday. Every phase of the game, San Francisco outclassed New England. Jimmy Garoppolo outplayed Cam Newton. The Patriots running backs, non-existent. The 49ers running backs, though, led by Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty, excellent, outstanding, perfect, almost. 49ers receivers outplayed the Patriots receivers who can't get open. Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, George Kittle with tight end. San Francisco's defense, minus 8 starters, still held the Patriots in check. Cam Newton was 9-15, 98 yards, 3 interceptions. The running game, nothing. That was a masterful, glorious performance this past Sunday by my beloved San Francisco 49ers. You know, 2 weeks ago, you're coming off a fade from the Miami Dolphins, 43-17. Everyone is wondering, everyone's panicking. What's wrong with the 49ers? The sky is falling out here in the Bay Area. They've answered all the questions the past 2 weeks, and specifically, Kyle Shanahan has answered all the questions. If there's any doubt about who is the best play caller in the league, you can talk about Andy Reid. I'll listen to that. Kyle Shanahan, the past 2 weeks, has showed you what he can do on that sideline calling plays. Kicked Sean McVay's ass last Sunday on Sunday Night Football and taught Bill Belichick a lesson. And it's interesting, those two coaches that I mentioned, he beat Bill Belichick with Sean McVay's offense, which is really Kyle Shanahan's offense because they stole that shit from us. Belichick pretty much ran the same defensive schemes against San Francisco on Sunday that he ran against the Rams in Super Bowl 53. Only difference is Kyle Shanahan's a much better, much more diverse, much more creative a play caller with much more exotic schemes and beat those schemes that Belichick tried to run that he also ran against McVay in Super Bowl 53 and destroyed it last Sunday. McVay tried to just line up an I formation and hand off to Todd Gurley against those 5 and 6 man fronts that Belichick employed against him in that Super Bowl. Shanahan, on the other hand, guys going in motion, pre-snap motion, misdirection, tosses, traps, inside zones, different guys carrying it, sweeps, screen passes, hitch patterns, whatever. Empty out the clip once again and just look at Bill Belichick and say, I don't care what you want to do. I'm going to fuck it up. You're the greatest coach of all time, but I'm going to kick your ass today. And that's exactly what happened. Defensively, 49ers allowed only 59 net yards in the first half. That's the fewest allowed by 49ers in the first half of a game since November 2012. 35 yards they allowed on that Monday night versus the Chicago Bears. Fun fact about that game, that was the debut of Colin Kaepernick. San Francisco's defense registered 4 interceptions in the game, 3 off Cam Newton and 1 off Jarrett Stidham after Cam was benched. That's the most by a team since 2014. They had 5 picks against the Giants. 49ers are now 2-1 against the AFC East. That 1 loss coming against the Miami Dolphins, winning against the New England Patriots and beating the New York Jets. Defensive back Jamar Taylor had his first career 2-interception game, picking off both Newton and Patriots backup Jarrett Stidham. It was his first and second pick of the season and fourth and fifth of his career. Jamar Taylor was the first 49ers defender to have two or more picks in the game since Chris Borland did that to Eli Manning in 2014 against the Giants. Speaking of awesome 49er middle linebackers, Fred Warner, the best linebacker in pro football, continued his campaign to be Defensive Player of the Year. Warner had another pick this past week, picking off a pass intended for Jacoby Myers. Warner also led the team in tackles with 7. Offensively, Garoppolo, 20-25, 277, 2 interceptions. Jeff Wilson Jr., 17 carries, 112 yards, 3 touchdowns in the game. Brandon Ayuk led the team in receiving, 6 catches, 115. Although I will say, overall, the offensive player of the game to me was Kyle Juszczyk. And you can look at the stat sheet and say, well, Juszczyk had 4 carries, 18 yards, 1 touchdown, caught a pass for 18 more yards. But his blocking, his versatility, his leadership, what he brings to the offense, I thought Juszczyk was incredible last Sunday versus New England. To me, like I said, he's an offensive player of the game. He just gives you so much diversity to the offense. San Francisco is really the only team in the league that utilizes a fullback to that extent. And so in such a creative and diverse array of ways. And the way Shanahan's able to use him and move him around pre-snap to manipulate where he wants to go in the running game to beat those 5 or 6 man fronts that Belichick was trying to utilize to stop our run game. Juszczyk is a vital part of the 49ers offense. I don't think the offense is what it is without Kyle Juszczyk. It was a perfect game plan and perfect execution by everyone last Sunday. I'll start with the quarterback, as I often do. You know, I'm critical of Jimmy Garoppolo in all phases because he's a franchise quarterback, allegedly being paid the amount of money he's being paid. So I have a high expectation for him. I think he should be better than what he is. That's all I'm saying. When I criticize Garoppolo, I'm just critiquing him from the standpoint of, if you're going to be a franchise quarterback, then play like it, be like it. Stop making so many excuses. The fans should stop making so many excuses. I want to see you be that franchise quarterback everyone tells me you are. This past Sunday, once again, Kyle did a great job of making things easy, simplifying the game plan for him, and just creating an offensive game plan to be advantageous to Garoppolo and his skill set for him to be successful. 20-25, 277, 2 picks. Most of those passes for the second week in a row behind or at the line of scrimmage. Short intermediate passes. And Garoppolo was able to execute for the most part. Those 2 picks, the first one was a ball that sailed over Kittle's head and was intercepted. The second one was at the end of the first half on a pass thrown deep down the field, farther than 20 yards, which Garoppolo this season has yet to complete a pass that traveled in the air over 20 yards. Threw it to Brandon Ayuk in the double coverage. Poor decision and also poor execution. If you're going to make that throw, you can't throw it inside. You got to throw it outside towards the sideline, leading him to the goal line. And Garoppolo threw it too short and threw it to Ayuk's inside shoulder. And a lot of people will look at that play and say, well, Ayuk should have fought harder for the ball. Similar to week one, when Garoppolo missed Kendrick Bourne on what would have been a go-ahead touchdown to potentially win the game versus Arizona, and people blame Kendrick Bourne after the game. All the Garoppolo supporters blame Kendrick Bourne after the game and saying, well, he should have fought harder for the ball. No, the ball should have been thrown better. But that's just me being nitpicky, just overly critiquing Garoppolo, as I so often do. Like I said, he's a franchise quarterback, allegedly. I expect you to make these throws. There's another throw late in the game where Kendrick Bourne ran a hitch. You had 11 personnel. It was one running back, one tight end, 3 receivers on the play. And you had Kendrick Bourne lined up right next to Brandon Ayuk at the bottom of the screen as you're watching it on TV at the right side of the field. Kendrick Bourne runs a hitch pattern and basically picks off 2 Patriot defenders who are confused in coverage. Ayuk runs a wheel route and is wide open. There's no one within a 500-mile radius of Brandon Ayuk. And Garoppolo completes the pass, but because it's such an inaccurate pass, Ayuk catches it and runs out of bounds. That should have been a touchdown right there. With as open as Ayuk was, that should have been a score. It led to a score. Jeff Wilson ended up running for a touchdown, but he got hurt on the play. So in a roundabout way, if you want to be petty about it, you could blame Garoppolo for Jeff Wilson getting injured, if you want to be petty. But these are the things I talk about. And yeah, we won the game 3-6. But against teams like Seattle, who we play this week, against Green Bay, against this The schedule only gets tougher week in and week out. In these big games, the quarterback has to be more accurate. And I don't know if this play calling and this game plan is always going to be sustainable from here on out. It worked last week and worked this week. But is it going to work every week? The team's going to game plan and adjust. Then again, Kyle Shanahan being who he is, being this expert play caller, being this genius, the boy wonder, so adept at countering what you want to do and countering your counter, playing chess when you're playing checkers, scheming guys open, figuring out what you want to do and always having a counter for that. It's fun to watch. It's just creative to watch this guy's creativity. To me, Kyle Shanahan is the leader in the clubhouse for NFL head coach of the year this season. And I mean that with utmost sincerity. You look at the amount of players the 49ers are missing, starters the 49ers are missing, good quality football players that are absent from the 49ers lineup. Nick Bosa out for the season. Richard Sherman been out since week one. D Ford still out with that dislocated vagina. The whole secondary is a who's who, is a labor-ready secondary. Basically, if you show up at 5 o'clock, you can get a job playing secondary for the 49ers. Jamar Taylor, Marcel Harris, Treverius Moore, both of those guys filling in for Jaquiski Tartt and Jimmy Ward, who are both out this week. So we're missing both of our starting safeties. And you're missing all these guys on both sides of the ball. Raheem Mostert was out. So you go to Jeff Wilson, and you still have a productive running game. All these injuries on both sides of the ball. Every week, we lose somebody. We lost Debo this week with a hamstring injury. Jeff Wilson hurt with a high ankle sprain. And yet, it's next man up. No team embodies that ideology more than the San Francisco 49ers. Next man up. This guy goes down, the next guy goes up, and we're still going to keep the ball rolling. 33-6 on the road in New England against a Bill Belichick coach team. That speaks to the coaching brilliance of Kyle Shanahan. As I said earlier, Belichick ran the same defensive schemes he ran against Sean McVay in Super Bowl 53, and Shanahan had every answer for it. Unlike McVay that day. Rams only scored 3 points in that Super Bowl. San Francisco scored 33 today, or 2 days ago. It's just brilliant. The way you're able to scheme open holes in the running game against a six-man front. They know the run is coming. It doesn't matter. They show you one look, and they play off that look and do something else. Once they know you've adjusted to that look, now we're going to play off and go in a different direction. You move guys in motion. The defense is going one way. Now you've exposed them. You're taking them out of man coverage. Now you've got them in zone. It was a completion early in the game, the George Kittle, where they ran Debo in motion out the backfield. The defense has to make an adjustment. Kittle slides underneath in zone coverage, picks up the catch, first down. It's everything Kyle does. And once again, I don't mean to be overly critical with Jimmy. I'm just giving an honest assessment. Kyle makes Jimmy look better than what he actually is. Kyle makes everyone look better than what they actually are. And it comes down to the guys on the field executing, but the coach on the sideline is so good and so adept at just putting guys in positions to be successful. You combine that with the amount of people we're missing, Kyle Shanahan, to me, is the leader in the clubhouse to be the head coach of the year this season. Robert Saleh did a great job of making adjustments, something he didn't do versus Miami a few weeks ago. But we showed different coverages, different looks on defense, not just relying on that cover three. You know you don't have Bosa. You know the pass rush is still non-existent. So you got to get creative. You got to mix up coverages. You got to blitz a little bit more often. You got to go from cover three to cover two to cover one. And he did that. He trusted his DBs to play man coverage. You can do that versus a team like New England because their receivers are trash. So you can trust guys like, well, Verrett's a great corner anyway, but you can trust a guy like Jamar Taylor or Emmanuel Mosley to play man coverage for the majority of the game and send more guys to blitz and get pressure on Cam Newton. Well, you know they're going against a team with a depleted set of wide receivers, but a lack of skill and talent in their receiving core as New England Patriots have. I thought that was outstanding. I thought everything the 49ers did from a schematic standpoint was outstanding last Sunday. Execution, the player standpoint. You know, and speaking of the Patriots' lack of production and lack of skill and talent at the receiver position, once again, the point I made earlier about them missing Tom Brady. Everyone looked at the Patriots last year and said the problem was Brady. He's declining. He's not as good as he used to be. You know, look at his numbers. They're not that great. His numbers were on par with Mitch Trubisky on some levels. You see what the problem is. They don't have receivers. They don't have people that can get open. The Patriots have no one that scares you. They have no one you really have to game plan for. They have average, pedestrian, normal, basic-ass receivers. And that's just being generous. That's being kind about it. Cam, the biggest weapon they have on offense is Cam getting out of the pocket. And I've talked so much before on this podcast about the 49ers having trouble against mobile quarterbacks. They contained Cam Newton this past Sunday and made him play in the pocket, which is the key to success. That's how you beat this team. Cam's arm is shot. But it showed you this entire season. The problem last year wasn't Brady. The problem was the personnel. Because Brady's lighting up in Tampa Bay with better personnel at 43 years of age. Tom Brady, since week 3, is 4-1. He's thrown 15 touchdowns. It's a 15-1 touchdown interception ratio. And it's thrown for 1,454 yards. It's tied for 4th in the NFL. But everyone and their mother told me Tom Brady was washed up. He was the problem. Everyone told me Belichick can win with just anybody playing quarterback. You can insert Cam Newton in there. It could be Brian Hoyer. It could be Jerry Stidham. It could be Scott Zolak. It could be Tony Eason. It could be Drew Bledsoe. Anybody could play quarterback for the New England Patriots. And they'd have the same amount of success because it was all Belichick and nothing to do with Tom Brady. That's what everyone told me. That's the word I heard. That's what all these alleged analysts and experts told me, is what people on the street, regular, everyday, average fans told me, that Brady sucks and he's a system quarterback. And it's all because of Bill Belichick, why the Patriots had all the success they had. How's that working out for you this season? Where is your success at? The passing game, their offense is non-existent. It's garbage. It's pathetic. It's abysmal. It sucks. The Patriots suck. Really on both sides of the ball. Brady was the guy who made that team go. You look at how well he's playing in Tampa Bay. You look at the arm strength that's still there. He's launching throws downfield effortlessly, hitting guys like Scotty Miller and Mike Evans downfield, 40, 50 yards. The ball traveling in the air for touchdowns. Lit up the Raiders on Sunday, 45-20. 33 of 45, 369, 4 passing touchdowns at the quarterback sneak for another touchdown. Compare that to Cam Newton's numbers, as I said earlier. 9 of 15, 98 yards, 3 picks, and he got benched in that game. But you can win with any quarterback. Brady's a system quarterback. People are so fucking stupid. People, when they talk sports, just say anything. Because they heard some asshole on TV say, there's some douchebag like Max Kellerman, who finally had to come out and apologize and say Brady is not falling off a cliff. It took you 6 fucking years to get to this point. It took you 6 years to finally figure out Brady is one of the elite quarterbacks in the league still at 43. It is not just the system. It's not just Josh McDaniels. It's not just Bill Belichick. It's him. Recognize greatness when you see it. This guy is one of, if not, in my opinion, he is the greatest quarterback ever. And you lose a guy like that from your team. And you see the weaknesses that are being exposed in that team. The Patriots are a mess. And for the first time since 2008, they will not win the AFC East. I'm predicting that right now. Buffalo or Miami should win that division because the Patriots are missing a lot. And most notably, they're missing the greatest quarterback of all time. 49ers took them apart last Sunday. From a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint, that looked easy. And projecting it forward going in Seattle this week, this is, you know, our biggest rival. But the Seattle Seahawks, coming off a loss versus Arizona, have a depleted defense that I think San Francisco can take advantage of. Because this isn't the Legion of Boom Seattle Seahawks. This isn't Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, Brandon Browner. You still got KJ Wright and Bobby Wagner, but you're missing Jamal Adams, who may or may not play this Sunday. But with Kyle Rowland the way he is, and his ability to exploit your weaknesses on defense, I think it's going to be a competitive game. I'm not going to say we're going to win or lose, but I think it's going to be more competitive than what some people think it's going to be. I don't know if we can play that same game plan defensively because Seattle has better receivers with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, but I think we can score with Seattle. I think we can definitely keep pace with them offensively. So we shall see, but that was an ass whooping the 49ers handed out last Sunday against New England. That was ugly. It's an impressive win all around. Great performance. I don't even know what else to say. Brandon Ayuk showing you how great he is already. He gets a lot of respect from the defense. They're giving him a cushion. Brandon Ayuk is a guy that can stretch the field. And you see the potential in the 49ers offense. if you get everyone back, you get Mostert back, you get Deebo back, with Ayuk, with Kittle, with Juszczyk, there's a lot of potential. If Garoppolo can improve his downfield passing ability, that's a great offense potential. It's already a great offense. Could be even better if you get all the necessary pieces back. If you get Ayuk in the mix, stretching the field, you still work those intermediate routes, you still have all that misdirection with pre-snap and motion, there's a lot of potential for this offense. But once again, it can sound like a broken record. It's all incumbent upon number 10, the starting quarterback, the guy making $27 million a year. If he can get better at making accurate throws downfield to really stretch the defense and back them up off the line of scrimmage. Great win for the 49ers. I want to finish up by talking about Cam Newton, though. Cam, I like Cam Newton. I always did. I liked him at Auburn. I liked him in the NFL. I think he's in his prime. Obviously, he's a former league MVP. One of the best quarterbacks in the league in his prime, but that prime is gone now. It wouldn't surprise me if Cam got cut before the season was over with. Cam, to me, like I said before, he looks to be in pain throwing a football. It looks like it hurts for him to simply throw a football down the field. He's inaccurate. San Francisco made him play in the pocket, and he can't do it. He just cannot do it. It's one thing, like I said, if your receivers can get separation, but it's one thing if you as a quarterback don't have anticipation to throw some guys open and make some guys better than what they are. Cam is inaccurate. Cam has bad footwork. Cam struggles reading coverages sometimes. Cam appears to be washed. First two games look good. Since then, he's been trashed. He had a great game versus Seattle, but like I said, Seattle's a terrible defense. Seattle's defense has been getting lit up all season. So when Cam lit them up, should have been no surprise. But against everyone else, Cam's been a ghost. And he got benched for Jarrett Stidham late in the game. And I can see that being a trend going off. I think if he struggles this Sunday versus Buffalo, I can see Cam being benched again. And it's sad to see. And I can also see Cam going the Andrew Luck route. I can see him retiring early. At the end of the season, I can see that being it for Cam Newton. You got to remember, the Patriots brought him in when no one else wanted him. They signed him to a league minimum contract. This could be the end of Cam Newton. 5 years ago, he was league MVP. This year, he's playing for the league minimum and struggling playing for the league minimum. This could be the end of Cam Newton as we know it as an NFL football player. So I hate that it had to be us to really give Cam his worst game as a pro. But, you know, that's football. You're playing against the opposition. That's the team on the schedule. Put together a game plan. It's up to them to figure out a way to beat it. Which the Patriots were unable to do last Sunday as they got seven different shades of shit beaten down their legs by the 49ers, 33-6. Just a few more notes before I get up out of here. Kevin Givens and DJ Jones picked up sacks. Givens' sack was the first of his young career. Dre Greenlaw also picked up a sack on the linebacker blitz. That was his first sack of the season, second of his career. 49ers did not have to punt until 3 minutes left to go in the game. Jonathan Cyprian forced a fumble on kickoff coverage. Jamichael Hasty picked up 10 touches on 73 yards, his largest workload of the season. Look for that workload to increase without Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert and Tevin Coleman still out. George Kittle celebrated National Tight Ends Day with 5 catches, 55 yards. No touchdowns, held in check for the most part, which I anticipated because Belichick's MO has always been to take away your team's best player. Fortunately, other guys were able to step up and pick up the slack and have great offensive production. Kittle with that 5 catches and 55 yards on the day and playing in his 50th game last Sunday now has 3,380 yards receiving, the third most by a tight end in NFL history. So tip, Kittle continues to be awesome. The 49ers continue to be awesome. 4-3, 3-0 on the East Coast, 2-1 against the AFC East. Still in last place in our division, but we play in the best division in pro football. But a chance to make some noise this Sunday against those low-life son-of-a-bitch Seattle Seahawks. Big game. It's Seattle week. Get your mind right. Get your focus up. Buckle your chin straps. 49ers, Seahawks, always tough, always physical. It's going to be ugly this Sunday. Hopefully, San Francisco comes out on top. They need this win to keep pace in our division. Let's see what happens. Until next time, I'm Deion Gordon. Picks will be rolling. I'm out.